Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this series thus far. I thank you for the entrance of your word that brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Lord, let it touch our hearts today. Shine a light into our hearts. Give us revelation knowledge. Let us hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. We give you, Lord, the praise. Give you, Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. The pillar of sound judgment. Well, right away we see that, you know, it is a pillar of wisdom, although it is called sound wisdom, but you can't use wisdom to define wisdom. So I call it sound judgment. Actually, that's the correct phrase for it, or name. It's called sound judgment. You'll find that in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 14. Now, please recall that our theme or our core scriptures for this lesson has been Proverbs chapter 9 verse 1, which says, wisdom has built her house and she has hewn out her seven pillars. And then Proverbs chapter 8 verses 12 to 13 that calls out several of those pillars. And then, of course, you know, Proverbs 24 verses 3 to 6. You know, many of those things are in there, the pillars. And then we've covered, you know, throughout the scriptures and so on and so forth. So today, Proverbs chapter 8 verse 14, wisdom is speaking here. You know, and in many parts of the book of Proverbs, especially the early chapters, most of it is about wisdom, and wisdom was always speaking. It's speaking here as well, and it says, I, wisdom, you know, if you start to read it from verse 12, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Arrogancy, evil way, the forward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine. And sound judgment. I want to call that sound judgment. I am understanding and I have strength. You know, by me, you know, different things. Kings reign and princes decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles and even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me. And those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. Now, that's the one we're talking about today. Sound judgment. That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures or fill their house with treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way. That's right. Before his works of old, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, even before the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. Now this is wisdom speaking. You know, wisdom is saying that, look, I was there with him from the beginning. Even, you know, even before he did anything, I was right there by him. Now that's telling you that by wisdom, God did all these things. You know, say, I was there. And when he set a compass upon the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, and when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea his decree, well, you know, he said, look, thus far and no further, that the waters should not pass his commandment. When he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight. Woo! That's wisdom speaking. And rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. And my delights were with the sons of men. Now, wisdom has given you his resume. Now, this is a resume of wisdom. Now he's telling you, now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, you know, for they are blessed that keep my ways. Now that's the ways of wisdom. He's giving you his resume, laid it all out, you know, right there. Wisdom was the Lord, with the Lord from the beginning. He said, the Lord possessed me in the beginning. I was by his side, even before he did anything, you know, so we see that, you know, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. But we see wisdom here claiming that it was by wisdom that God, you know, established the depths of the earth and put all those things together. And just look at it. I mean, the things that God put in orbit, you know, scientists are still trying to figure it out. Yet the mind of the Lord, you know, he imagined these things and called them forth. Let there be, and so it was. Let the waters be gathered on one side, and let the dry land appear, and so it was. Let there be light, and so it was. Let there be this, let there be that, and so it was. I mean, incredible wisdom in the mind of the Lord to bring all those things together. Until this day, you know, they can't figure it all out completely. They're still discovering things that the Lord put out there a long time ago. Hallelujah. You know, wisdom is putting out his resume here, saying, look, I'm the one that was with the Lord when there was nothing else, you know, and by me, he did all these things, you know, so you better listen to me, he says, praise God, you know, so this is powerful stuff. But today I want to talk about sound judgment. You might actually say that, you know, this one encompasses all the pillars, you know, sound judgment. So that's why I put this one last. Well, we've seen a direct reference to it in Proverbs 8 and 14. You know, so it is called sound wisdom there, but I call it sound judgment. It encompasses all the other pillars. For instance, in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 7, and Proverbs chapter 3, verse 21. So let's read some of these things quickly. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 7. He says, the Lord layeth up sound judgment. You know, because it's sound wisdom here, but I call it sound judgment. For the righteous, he's a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment. Now, that's a sound judgment again. And preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment, or sound judgment, which is the one we're talking about today, and equity and every good path. Now, when wisdom entered into your heart, then knowledge, you know, will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will preserve you, and understanding shall keep you. You know, so these are some of the pillars that we've been talking about, you know, and so on and so forth. So, let's look at Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 21 and see some of the things that he has to say here again. He said, my son, you know, let not my words depart from your eyes and so forth. Keep sound wisdom or sound judgment and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When you lie down, because of sound judgment, he said, you shall not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, thy sleep shall be sweet. You will not even be afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord shall be your confidence, and he shall keep your food from being taken. Now, all of these, you know, because you possess sound judgment. Well, let's look at some definitions. It is the quality of having experience, understanding, knowledge, discernment, and exercising discretion, counsel, and ability of making good decisions. Now, that's a mouthful. Now, I put that together from many definitions. I read some things in the dictionary, put some things that the Holy Ghost gave me, put it all together. Now, these next definitions I'm giving you, they're like that. Some from the dictionary, some from Holy Spirit, some from other people, put it all together and come out with this thing called the sound judgment, definitions of it. Let me read that to you again. I have to write it down because it's a mouthful. It is the quality of having experience, understanding, knowledge, discernment, and exercising discretion, counsel, and the ability of making good decisions. So you can see that it covers everything. Here's another one. It is the ability to objectively assess situations or circumstances using all the relevant information grounded in facts and applying past experience in order to come to a conclusion or make a decision. Wow. That's a lot. Let me read that again slowly. Again, like I said, I put all these things together. It is the ability to objectively assess situations or circumstances using all the relevant information. The key thing here is using all the relevant information grounded in facts and applying sometimes past experience in order to come to a conclusion or make a decision. And so you can see that this thing is so comprehensive. It covers everything that we've been talking about. But that's sound judgment. You look at all the facts. You don't just listen to one part. You look at all the facts. You consider all the facts. And then you know, in order to come out with a decision or a conclusion. Now, here's another definition. We're talking about sound judgment. It is the quality of having understanding of a matter or a solution. A matter or a situation. And the quality of being able to use hindsight as well as showing insight into the present and having a demonstration of foresight for the future leading to making good choices. My goodness, you know, you won't find that one in a dictionary, but you hear it right here. Now, let me give that to you again. It is the quality of having understanding of a matter or a situation and the quality of being able to use hindsight as well as showing insight into the present and having a demonstration of foresight for the future leading to making good choices. Well, we've talked about understanding yesterday and we went into, you know, hindsight, insight, and foresight. Now, this definition of sound judgment, bringing all that together. Now, you know, Paul talks to Timothy about it and he calls it a sound mind. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, Paul was addressing, you know, the matter of fear. He said, well, God has not given us, you know, the spirit of fear. But what has he given us instead? Well, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. A sound mind is able to make sound judgment. Somebody who doesn't have a sound mind, they cannot make sound judgment. You know, because their minds are, you know, shattered in different places. Sound mind, they got that thing together. They got their act together. You know, they're not rattled by anything. You know, they just, you know, they can take care of it. You know, and they can figure out the situation. They got a sound mind. Now, so that's what Paul said to Timothy. Well, let's see how, you know, Solomon demonstrates this sound judgment. You know the story. I will just paraphrase it. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 to about 28. You know, this is the thing that made Solomon famous, you know, and this was, of course, the Lord had appeared to him in a vision, asked him, you know, what he would want, and he asked for understanding and so on and so forth. And the Lord said, well, I'll give it to you, you know, understanding, you know, heart of understanding, you know, that such as none of the kings before or after you will have. You know, so there came two women who were allied unto the king. Then they said, you know, one said this, the other said that. He said, well, we both lived in the same house. We had a child each. And then it came to pass one night, you know, that this one, you know, there was nobody else with us in the house. And this one, this one woman came, and when I woke up, she had, you know, swapped my child. My child was dead. He said, when I considered the thing, I mean, the child was dead. So this is not my child. This is the child of the other woman. You know, and the other woman said, no, it's my child. This one said, no, it's not my child. So they are arguing back and forth about it. So King Solomon, he says, okay. So he considered all the facts. You know, he listened to each side. You know, he listened to it, considered the facts, gathered the information, let each one say their side. You know, and then he, you know, he pondered about it. He said, well, will a woman lie about her child or not? Say, yeah, well, if he's dead, he wants another child, you know, and so forth. So then he said, okay, here's what we're going to do. Let us just, you know, since nobody was there was only two of you in the house, we're just going to, I mean, the best way to settle this is, you know, let's just divide. You know, this one child is already dead. Let's bury that child. But this one that is living, let's just divide the child into two. Give one half to you and one half to the other. And then everybody will be fine. Just, you know, half and half. And then so there will be no complaint. Since we don't know whose child is the dead one and whose child is alive, let's divide the living one. Give me a sword, he said. Bring me a sword. And when they, you know, went to fetch the sword, you know, one woman said, yep. That's right. Let's divide the child into two. You know, let it neither be mine or hers. Let's just divide the child. Take half and half. The other one cried out. He said, my God, I sword. Let my king just give her the child. But divide it not. Give it to her. Wow. And the king pondered the matter and said, my. This has to be the mother of the child because her bowels yearned for her child. She would rather have the other woman, her enemy, walk away with her child in order to keep her child alive than divide it. And he said, look, the one that wanted to divide the child because it wasn't hers, they didn't really care. You know, that can't be the mother of the child. And all of Israel said, wow. We have never heard such a thing. Say, give this woman the child. It's hers. So he used sound judgment. And people, up to today, people are still talking of the wisdom of Solomon because of that one singular thing. But I tell you what, he wrote 3,000 proverbs. He wrote all these things in the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Songs of Solomon. He wrote a lot of things. You know, so. You know, that was sound judgment in the life of Solomon. If you take a look at it, there are some lessons that we learn from that. Listen to the facts. I mean, listen to the presentation of the arguments. That's what he did. You know, gather all the relevant information grounded in facts. Ponder the matter. You know, and of course, all along, you're asking the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about applying it to ourselves now. You're asking the Holy Spirit to guide you and you make the right decision. There's a lot of decisions that we need to make in life, you know, that people make the wrong decisions. Who am I going to marry, for instance? And that's a big one, you know. And people don't gather all the facts. They don't check everything out, you know, because, you know, sometimes people don't put, you know, a person that you are dating or you're trying to marry, they may not put all the, you know, cards on the table, as they say. But you got to gather all the facts. You got to do your due diligence. Because the Holy Spirit might be giving you a red light. You don't pay attention. It's going to come and bite you later on, you know. So, but you have to use sound wisdom. You know, you're in a relationship. You know, Philippians chapter 4 verse 5 says, look, the Lord's coming is at hand. Don't be messing around. You know, let your moderation be known unto all men. In other words, communicate your values. Communicate your values. If you communicate your value, and this person doesn't care to respect your value, then that's a fact that you now know, that they don't care about your values. If they don't respect your values now, they're not going to respect your values later. If you say, no, I don't want us messing around. I want us to have a clean relationship. We do things that are honorable and so forth. And they are always pressing on you. They want to take you to bed. That's all they care about. Well, then if they can't respect your values now, they're not going to respect your values later. Use sound judgment. And many people don't know how to say no. You know, ladies, especially, you know, don't let any man sweet talk you. You know, a man that doesn't respect your values, you know, is not a man that truly loves you. You know, once they get, you know, what they want, you know, then, and if they can get also what they want without marrying you, why should they marry you? You know, so that's a sacred thing. You keep that to yourself. Don't give it up. You know, so, well, I'm going to tell you is, you know, a couple of stories, you know, from the Bible. And, but as you are listening to this, you know, I want you to think deeply about the, this subject of, sound judgment. Because, you know, it is really the thing that is going to help you mostly in your life. It encompasses all these things that, you know, we have been talking about. You know, all these things that we have been talking about. So, in the book of Matthew chapter 25, you know, Jesus told some stories. And in this particular one that I want to relate to us, he told a story of the wise and foolish virgins. Holy Spirit said, tell this other one first before you go there. Okay, so I'm going to tell it first. You know, the story of Ammon and Tamar. You know, I hope some of you know this story, but if you don't, 2 Samuel chapter 13. You know, there was a son that David had that was called Ammon. You know, and he fell in love with his half sister called Tamar, and who was sister of Absalom, his brother. You know, and so every day Ammon really wanted to have this woman. And he plotted all kinds of his friends, even, you know, gave him advice of how, you know, I mean, it was a guy called Jonadab, I think, he was a friend, and gave him advice of how she's going to seduce this woman or get a hold of her. And so on and so forth. The story went anyway. He asked this young woman to come make some food for him and so forth. Pretended that he was sick and all of that. This wicked friend, who was no friend at all, you know, gave him this wicked advice of how to do this wicked thing. You know, and so when the woman came in, he wanted to rape her. He tried to seduce her at first. The woman wouldn't agree. Then he, you know, tried to rape her. She couldn't do it. She couldn't get free. But because he was stronger, he forced himself on her and succeeded in raping her. Sad story. It's in the Bible. The Bible contains all these things. Bad, good, ugly. It's all in the Bible. That's what tells you the Bible is a correct book. Because it doesn't hide the bad things that people did. You know, but the point was that after he finished doing that, he hated the woman. You know, so, you know, and I said to look, don't let any man take advantage of you, because if you think they're going to love you because of that, they won't. You know, after this ban, I mean, he could have done the right thing. The woman even said, look, in those days, they married their half-sisters and all kinds of things. You know, and they said, look, just ask the king. He will not, prevent me from being given to you. Don't do this thing. Don't do this for me. But he was stronger than her, forced her and so forth. And at the end, he hated her. So that didn't turn out very well. Of course, it might have taken 2 years or whatever, but I tell you what, Absalom, he plotted and he killed this guy, you know, because of what he did to his sister. I mean, these people did crazy things back then. But the point I'm bringing out of that is that, you know, don't let anyone, you know, try to do anything to you. Because if they do, they might not love you afterwards. You know, that's the price that they get. You know, you can get that on your wedding day. You know, then it's honorable in all. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. Marriage is honorable in all. And the bed is undefiled if it's in marriage. But otherwise, it is defiled and it is corrupted. You know, so believers should take heed. All right. And truly, you know, fornication is in the same category as adultery. It's really nothing different. You know, if the man or the woman wants to fornicate with you before you get married, then they might also commit adultery after they marry you. You know, because fornication and adultery is the same thing. So communicate your values and watch out for the red flags. You know, and you save yourself from a lot of heartache down the road. And you see those signs that are not working, you know, better speak up, you know, and so forth like that. And you see manipulative signs, you know, people that try to manipulate others and so forth. You know, sometimes people do it through many different ways. I've seen it through counseling and so forth. Manipulative spirits, sometimes it's subtle, sometimes it's even more observable. But every which way you look at it, it's an oppressing spirit, and it boils down to witchcraft. When people try to manipulate others, and they can use different ways, Holy Spirit will give you discernment. Pay attention to that. This is not a marriage room, so I won't go too much into that. You know, we do have a marriage ministry my wife and I conduct, but that's not the subject for today. But now, let me go back to the story in Matthew chapter 25. The story of the five wise and five foolish virgins. And we alluded to these earlier, you know, I think when we were doing prudence. You know, so as a part of this story that I want to bring out today, interesting story actually, and Jesus told it himself. Now, the lesson I want to bring out of here is learning to say no. That's sound judgment. Some people don't know how to say no. You know, and you know, you've heard people say that, look, don't let somebody else's lack of planning become your own emergency. In fact, I remember when I was in college at one time for my postgraduate degree, one of my instructors in her hour, you know, they have this, you know, hour that you can go there, open hour or office hour or something they called it. You can go there and ask them questions. She had this big sign on her door and said, well, your lack of planning is not my emergency. In fact, that was the first time I saw that. I said, that's interesting. You know, and then afterwards I heard more about that saying. Well, this story, as you know, five wise virgins and five foolish virgins that went to meet the bridegroom. Some took they all took oil. I mean, they all took lamps. Some took extra oil, some did not. Well, those of you who are familiar with lamps, those of us from Africa, we grew up around it, these kerosene lamps or whatever, it has a little reservoir and a wick inside the thing. You know, you put the kerosene or the oil and you use that to be the fuel, you know, and so on and so forth, you know, but the thing can only hold so much fuel. You know, after a while, the thing runs out because it's got a very little reservoir, you know. So the wise ones took extra oil. You've heard the story. people try to analyze that story that the oil means this, the lamp means that, and so on. I'm not going into that today. Point I want to do is that, look, those who were wise had the sense of sound reasoning. You know, sound judgment is also like sound reasoning. They look like, look, this journey might be long. You know, I mean, we don't know how long we're going to wait for the bridegroom. So we don't know how, you know, so they say, look, there might not be enough oil in the reservoir. So let's take, they filled it up and they took extra because if this one runs out, we will be able to, you know, put some more. Why were they able to do that? They had the capacity for sound reasoning. And even when the bridegroom comes, maybe we will be in the party for a long time. We need this thing all night long, you know. And so, you know, they took extra oil. The others just scrambled their lamps. They did not have sound reasoning. So they couldn't think and analyze the situation that this journey might be long and they could not prepare. They lived for the moment. They could not prepare accordingly for the future. You know, and let me say this. I said it once before and I'll say it again. Traditionally, people have thought that these wise virgins, so-called, were wise because they took oil. And that the foolish were foolish because they did not take oil. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me dismiss that and say that, that's not the case at all. These people took extra oil because they were already wise. It was their wisdom, it was their ability for sound reasoning and sound judgment, which we'll see later, you know, to gather the facts, analyze the situation, you know, say, wow, you know, the hindsight, maybe they've been in that situation before. And then they use foresight to say, look, it might take us a long time. So they took extra oil. It was that they already had that quality in them that made them to make the right choice, you know, take the right step. This other one, because they didn't take oil, was not what made them foolish. It was because they were foolish. That's why they didn't know to take extra oil. So let's get that straight. Now, it's not the one thing that defined them. It was a character trait already. These ones were already sound. You know, they were grounded in facts. They knew how to analyze situations and so forth. So here's another situation. They were able to make the right decision, make the right preparation. The other ones, you know, because they were foolish, they always live for the moment, shoot from the hip or whatever. Like they don't gather all the facts. They don't plan through. They don't think through. They couldn't make the right preparation. So they didn't have extra oil. But as the story went, when it was the lamp trimming time, they cut off those dead ends of the wick, crank up the thing, and they found out that their oil tank had run dry. All of them did. But the ones that had extra oil, they were able to refill the thing. And these other ones came to them and said, can we have some? Because we ran out. And ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, here is a big lesson for those who don't know how to say no. Jesus told this story. And today in contemporary circles, if we tell this story like this in contemporary circles, the church, believers, Pentecostals, everybody, they will tell you that you don't have love. You don't have love because if you have love, you should have shared your oil. Well, just, ladies and gentlemen, no greater love could any man find than was in Jesus, that he laid down his life for the world. Paid the price for something he didn't even do and knew he was going to be separated for the Father on top of that, you know, and yet he did it. It's no greater love than that. For a moment, he was separated. He knew it was coming, but he did it anyway. So you cannot find greater love than in Jesus. Yet Jesus told this example and he was the one always telling us, love your neighbor, do this and that. But he told this example. This is, has nothing to do with love. This is sound judgment, folks. Because look, they said, look, your emergency is not, I mean, your lack of planning is not going to become my own emergency. You should have thought of this through. You didn't. We don't have enough for us. Because if I give you now, I'm not going to make it. And I'm not going to not make it because you didn't plan. Ladies and gentlemen, this is powerful stuff. There are times you have to say no. Many people don't know how to say no. And if you say no, they say it's because you don't have any love. Jesus wasn't talking about love here. He was talking about sound judgment. At times that you have to say no. Now, you need to say no to temptation. You need to say no to seduction. You need to say no to all kinds of things. And I said before, I said, look, you know, the younger generation, especially, say, follow your heart. I say no. Jeremiah 17 and 9 says your heart can be deceitful. Don't follow your heart. Follow the word of God. And there are times you have to say no instead of just do it. And that old Nike commercial, which I hate, says just do it. Just do what? You know, and a lot of people just go along and say, well, just do it. Just do what? What about just say no? And my own version is just say no. Hallelujah. You know, you gotta have sense, common sense and sound judgment to be able to put your foot down. And sometimes you say no. And many people are in trouble because they don't know how to say no. Joseph knew how to say no to Potiphar's wife, you know, and so he got, you know, he got himself on the right side with God. It cost him something, but it brought him promotion later on anyhow. Now, many people don't know how to say no. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 27 says, you know, withhold not good from him, you know, whether it is due, you know, and so on and so forth. You know, so people always think that, you know, that means that, you know, whenever somebody asks you something, you always have to say and give it to them. No, not at all. You know, so let me read that to you. Proverbs 3:27. Withhold not good from them, for me it is due, when it is in the power of your hand to do it. It was in the power of the hand of these wise virgins to have given it to them, but they didn't do it. So we have to balance the scriptures. You know, because sometimes you have to think through. Okay? Jesus never said, you know, love your neighbor, be, you know, more than yourself. You know, so, you know, if you're going to do something that's going to destroy you just because you are loving your neighbor, then you are foolish. Now, there was, you know, there are some people who give to their own detriment, you know, and you are foolish when you do that. There was a story I heard on this clubhouse. That's even a different story. Before I tell that, let me tell you the story of somebody else that I knew who out of his heart, was a good brother who out of his heart used to give everything to everybody that came to him. He gave everything, always gave, you know, and he was a good man. He was very good too, you know, that he did. I helped a lot of people, but he always did it to his own detriment. And everybody thought that was a good thing. Well, I didn't think it was a good thing. You know, and I tried to tell him about it, but, you know, when you tell people like that, you know, they might think you are trying to dissuade them from doing good. Well, one day, you know, his father died. And he had, you know, spent all of his substance. It's a true story. It's not a parable. I spent all his stuff helping others, and he couldn't even. And traditionally, he had to, being the firstborn in the family, he had to do a lot of stuff. And he was out of finances because he spent all of his stuff on others. And many of those people that he spent all his stuff on, nobody came to his rescue. You know, now, you know, you just think about that for a minute. You know, there are some people who are on this platform listening to me today. You know that, okay, so maybe you used to live in Africa or Nigeria or someplace. And now you're living in UK or United States or whatever. And just because you're there, everybody think that you are a well of money or something, or that you pluck the thing from the tree. I don't know how we say it. And that constant demand for this and that is a bottomless pit. It will never end. You know, sometimes you got to say no. You got to take care of yourself. Help them the best you can. But there are times you got to say no. You know, so if you don't need know how to say no, read this story again. These people said no to the others. And Jesus was the one that told this story. Therefore, I conclude that there are times when you must learn how to say no. And say no. Because if I do this, I'm not going to have enough for myself. Now, people don't use discernment. This other story I was going to tell you is, you know, some people don't know how to say no when they're trying to be. You know, deceivers are going to get worse and wax worse and worse. That's what the scriptures say in the last days. And on an app such as this, there are a lot of deceivers that want to get your money. And people don't know how to say no. I mean, they come, there's sheep. I mean, they come wolves, but they have sheep clothing on to masquerade their real intentions. And they'll have a word, you know, a prophetic word or whatever. Maybe they are a seer. That may be good. That may be a good thing. You know, but when they try to use it to manipulate people, it's already turned to witchcraft and they didn't know it. You know, and then they will be telling people, well, if you do this, the Lord will do that for you. What kind of nonsense is that? If you want healing, you got to sow a seed and you got to do all of these things. You know, freely you have received, freely you give. This is how Jesus sent them out in Matthew chapter 10, verses 7 to 8. Do all these things, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead even, heal the sick and all of that. Freely you have received, freely give. But when they manipulate them, they give everything. There was a young lady, I heard the story right here on this platform. When I first came to this platform a couple of years ago, we were in some room. And this lady, young lady, she went into some room where they were told to, she was told to sow some amount that she could not afford. And she did it. And it was all the money she had that she could have used to pay her rent. And she did it. And then I have never heard of, you know, well, I have heard. But the part that I didn't hear of, you know, that I thought was even foolish, was after that, not only did she do that foolish thing, you know, then she came into this room and then gave her testimony and everybody was praying for her and scrambling to help her. And I'm like, what kind of nonsense is this? You know, you need to learn wisdom and sound judgment and know how to say no. You know, and people are intimidated by these so-called, you know, prophetic seances and gifts and peeping spirits and stuff like that. Look, don't be intimidated by that stuff. You need to know when to say no. And listen, the bottom line is Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, then there is no light in them, no matter what gift they possess. You know, so if they're trying to seduce you like that and trick you into that, if you don't know how to say no, and the lady began to be in want. She couldn't pay her rent. I mean, why in the world would you give up your rent money because somebody told you to sow, and then you begin to pray? You know, look, I'm not against giving. I give. You know, one time Paul was saying, look, I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than you all. You know, I'm not going to say it exactly like that, but I'm a great giver. Ask people who know me. But I have to use wisdom, you know. Well, I'm never going to give to, you know, people who are trying to use trickery, you know, to get things out of you and all that. That's not going to work. So here's lesson. Learn this today. You know, don't, you know, give away your money when people are trying to seduce you. Learn how to say no. Learn how to say no to a man or woman that's trying to seduce you as well, you know, into doing unrighteousness, you know. So giving to the rich, you know, or robbing the poor, these, both of these things, you know, are not good to and in the sight of the Lord. So when we are faced with situations like this, you know, we have to learn how to say no. If you don't know how to say no, people will take advantage of you. you know, it'll take advantage of you. So this is a very good story that we need to learn. You know, in Proverbs chapter 22, let's read verse 16 and see what it says. You know, about giving to the rich or robbing the poor. You know, he that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich, both of them shall come to want. But that's not what God wants. You know, now there are, these people are already laden with riches, and yet they are oppressing the poor to increase their riches. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know, God denounces it in this verse. But if you've never read this verse, read it again. Proverbs 22 and verse 16. Now, you know my heart concerning sound judgment. Learn how to say no. So there are times we got to know how to say no. And then some people don't know how to say no when people ask them to do things. It's not just even, the, you know, give money. You know, sometimes, you know, I've seen people that have been asked to do this and do that and do the other, you know, and they don't know. I mean, to their own detriment. If you have personal deadlines, you know, you can't give up your personal deadlines, you know, just because, you know, you are trying to help someone else. You help them, but you take care of your own commitments as well. You can do all of those things. You know, I mean, I take care of my commitments, take care of my family, help others, do everything else, but I do it all. But you can't rob Peter to pay Paul. You know, you got to take care of your own commitments. You know, some people overstretch themselves where they are trying to help somebody else and they decline on their own thing. I mean, there are people who are constantly trying to help others, but they neglect their own family. You know, I mean, how sad is that? You know, they're trying to help others and you neglect your own family. Or you are being kind to others and you are mean to your own family. What kind of life is that? You know, sound judgment will teach you how to balance all these things. Now, let me move on. Remember that you need to learn how to say no, you know, to the devil. When the devil suggests something, you know, you have to say no. You know, Jesus himself, he knew this secret, right? Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 16, I want to pay attention to this verse. In Romans chapter 6 verse 16, it says, look, anybody that you obey, you are a servant to that person. So if you obey sin, you are a servant of sin. If you obey righteousness, you are a servant of righteousness. If you obey that devil, when he gives you a suggestion and you do it, then you become the servant of the devil. That's what happened to Eve in the garden. You know, so, you know, Eve gave a suggestion, devil gave a suggestion, which Eve took. And lo and behold, you know, the devil tried the same tactic on Jesus. In Luke chapter 4, you can read the first 13 verses or so. And all the things that the devil tried on Jesus, Jesus wouldn't do it because it came from that devil. It's not that he couldn't do it, but because it came from the devil. You know, the same thing throughout his ministry. Every time people would come and tell him, show us a sign, do us this thing, do show. He wouldn't do it just because it came from them. Because if he did it, obey them just because they stirred you up like that, you know, and you try to prove something, then you become their servant. Because whosoever you obey, his servants you are that you yield yourself to obey. And Jesus wouldn't do it. You know, so that's a serious lesson for us to learn. You know, now, I talked about the other day when we were talking about, just yesterday when I talked about insight, hindsight, and all that. Decisions that you made in the past might have influenced where you are today. In other words, the life you're living today could be as a result of decisions you made in the past. You know, and the life you will live tomorrow you know, may also be a result of the decisions you are making today. Now, who you are going to, the kind of marriage and life you're going to have, if you're not yet married and you're thinking about it, you know, it's going to be based on some decision. You know, so make that decision wisely. You know, but as long as you are living, there is still opportunity to make repairs. That's what this series is all about. Remember, we talk about those cracks. If the pillars were set right in the first place, there wouldn't be cracks. But even when there are cracks, you can go and fix the pillars. Not just fix the cracks first. No, fix the pillars. Because you fix the cracks, you didn't fix the pillars, there will be cracks again. So you fix the cracks, but fix the pillars. So everything is sitting right. And the structure, the thing that's supporting the structure is right. You know, so as long as there is, you are still living, you can make better choices today. Even if you made poor choices in the past, you can make better choices today to set yourself on the course for a better tomorrow. So that's sound judgment. Gather all the facts. Analyze, you know, the past. That's hindsight. We talked about that yesterday. Check out the situation that you are in now. You know, prepare for a better tomorrow. And, you know, say, hey, look, if I do this, I'll do that and so forth. Check it out. Don't make hasty decisions. People who make hasty decisions are not exercising sound judgment. Don't make hasty decisions. You know, think about it and pray about it. Or maybe say, well, let me get back to you. Think about it, you know, and so on. Don't make hasty decisions. And don't commit to something that you cannot finish. You know, we've all been talking about God's word is his bond. Well, how good is your own word? Don't say something if you can't do it. You know, but if you use sound judgment in the first place, you wouldn't commit to something that you don't know you can do. Nobody knows how tomorrow is going to turn out. So don't be making promises about tomorrow. You may not be able to do it. But when we don't use sound judgment, we just make some outlandish promise that we may not be able to keep. Now, only God can make promises. Any kind of promise he can make, because he has the capacity to keep them. And then some, you know. But we don't, you know, sometimes we can't. Even parents, they disappoint their little kids. You say, oh, I'm going to take you to the park tomorrow. I'm going to do this. And then you can't because something happens. Maybe you have to stay late at work, or something happens, or, you know, got a flat tire, or something happens, or some other thing came up and it preempted. And that little child is disappointed. Well, you don't have the capacity. So use sound judgment and you make these things, you know, before you just say something that you can't do. And then you just look like you're a person of no integrity. You know, a person of integrity will back up their words because before they say yes, they have analyzed all the facts. I mean, they've gathered all the information, grounded in facts. They have analyzed everything. And when they say yes, it's a yes. And when they say no, it's a no. You know, so don't say yes when it's no, and don't say no when it is yes. Don't spend your time. Also, people don't make sound judgment. There's a story I want to tell you here. In one of the last ones that I will tell you here. This man, he blamed everybody but himself. You know, this is what people who don't make sound judgment do. They blame everybody. They blame their situation. Blame their circumstances. Well, yeah. You know, life happens. We don't choose the family that we are born into. You know, I mean, you're born into some life. Maybe your parents didn't have it all together. Maybe your dad was not the role model he should be. Maybe he wasn't even there. You know, and all these things and so on and so forth, you know, and people are victims of a lot of things, but you don't have to remain that way. At some point in time, you have to make your own choices and you're going to be responsible for your life. But people hide behind these things, blame everybody for the rest of their life, for everything that happened to them. You know, Adam, where are you? Well, I was afraid and I hid myself. What? Because I know I was naked. Oh, how do you know you were naked? Have you done this thing I told you not to do? Well, the woman you gave me, you know, she gave it to me. Eve, why would you do such a thing? Well, you sat there and began. Everybody blamed the other person. Nobody wants to take responsibility. I tell you what, Adam should have said no. Even if Eve didn't say no. Adam had a choice to have said no, but he didn't do it. You know, so can't blame Eve for that. And Eve had a choice to have said no to the serpent, but she didn't do it. So you can't blame him for that. You know, the devil was the only one that I was really to blame in the first place, you know. And then, but we know he was the one that was trying to trick people to not trust the integrity of God's word. But Eve has herself to blame. Adam has himself to blame. But they don't do it. They just try to blame somebody else. What about this man called Esau? You can read his story in Genesis chapter 25, verses 31 to 34. And then also Genesis chapter 27 and verse 36. Again, Genesis 25, verses 31 to 34. And Genesis 27, verse 36. Cut a long story short, you know, Esau was supplanted by his brother, you know, and got his birthright. But prior to that, Esau actually sold his birthright for a morsel of food. And then later on, he blamed Jacob for it. I don't have time to read the story. Blamed Jacob for it, but no. You know, I mean, it was his choice to sell his birthright. The birthright was his. Even though it might have been a minute that it came out before Jacob, they were twins. It was still his birthright. You know, he was the firstborn. I did a lesson some months ago about firstborn and birthright. You know, so it was his. But one day, they were in the fields, they were hungry. And Jacob had some food. They call it venison. And he didn't have any. And he begged Jacob for some food because he was dying of you know, starving. And Jacob said, well, no, you know, you got to give me your birthright. And how in the world would you sell your birthright for just food? And he didn't think of it. He didn't make sound judgment. He didn't analyze all the meaning. And he said, well, fine. You know, I'm going to die anyway. So you got it. He said, Jacob said, swear to me. He said, yeah, you got it. And okay. So he gave it to him. And that was how he sold his birthright. And later on, he was blaming Jacob for it. He already sold it. Before even Jacob supplanted him, he sold his own birthright. You know, so, and the scripture says, look, let there be no profane person among you. You know, like Esau, who sold his birthright. And he sought it carefully with tears later on, but he found no place of repentance. You know, so, because he did not use sound judgment and he tried to blame somebody else, you know. He found no place later on to get it back. Even though he sought it carefully with tears, it was too late. He couldn't do it. You can read that in Hebrews chapter 12, you know, verses 16 and 17 or something like that. You know, so let there be no profane person or fornicator or this or that like Esau who sold his birthright. And when he wanted it later on, couldn't get it. But he was blaming everybody else for his ill fortunes. But he was the one that did not know how to say no to that situation. You know, he was under temptation. You know, temptation is, hey, look, you know, just for a moment, sell your birthright for food. He could have said, no, I'm going to deal with it some other way and get your food some other way. He didn't do it. You know, he blamed everybody else and it didn't end up well for him. There are four decisions, important decisions you must make in your life. Make them with sound judgment. You know, we talked about this before. Choosing the Lord as the Lord of your life. That's number one. Number two, I mean, and for that, you have to count the cost. You know, cost is like, you know, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You have to make sound judgment. You know, count the cost, you know. Where are you going to spend eternity? I mean, how are you going to live your life now? Are you going to just go through life without the governor of life to guide you? And just try to figure it out on your own? Those are choices we have to make. Who will you marry? That's another big decision you got to make, you know. And what the next one is, what are you, and I said, look, if you marry the right person, you heard me say it, you will have a prayer partner. If you marry the wrong person, you will have a prayer point. So it's going to be either a prayer partner or a prayer point or your life, you know, and you may even add worse than that, God forbid, you know. So who are you going to marry? That's important. It's better to wait than to rush into something. Wait and gather all the facts. Discover, do the time of discovery. Figure it all out and make a sound decision. Now, what are you going to do with your life? That's another question. You know, how will you know that you can fulfill your divine assignment? Well, that's an important one, you know, that we really need to get into some other time. You know, what career choices will you make? You know, this will even impact the ability to fulfill your divine assignment. And they're not the same thing. You know, they're not the same thing. I have a career that I follow in technology. That's not my divine assignment for life. You know, what I'm doing now here on this room, in this room right here, this is part of my divine assignment. But I do the other thing. But sometimes the other thing may impact your ability to do your divine assignment. You know, so, you know, you got to make these discoveries. These are important decisions that you need to make in life. You know, so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they made a decision. They were not going to bow. Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. You know, they testified, look, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. We know that. But even if he doesn't deliver us, we're still not going to bow. So that was a sound decision that they made. They said, look, think about it. You have one last chance. Say, no, there's nothing to think about. We've already thought about it. You know, so this is it. And they stood their ground. Well, and God stood with them too. You know, now Daniel and his friends, they made a decision also. It was a sound decision. They analyzed all the facts. They're not going to eat of the king's dainty meats and all these things. You can read that in Daniel chapter 1 from verses 8 to about verse 20. Talks about the story of how they were trying to prepare, you know, those chosen ones. And Daniel said, no, we're not going to eat all of that. You know, it was a decision. They were not going to eat it. They made a decision. They said, look, we don't want to divide ourselves with that. Our God whom we serve is able to make us look better by just eating vegetables and things. They wouldn't do it. It was a decision they had to make. You know, Joseph had a choice when he was facing the seductress. In Genesis chapter 39, verses 7 to 8, you know, now, studying and meditating on the word of God will help you to learn sound judgment. You can find that in Proverbs. You say, how do I learn sound judgment? Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 9. You know, you study the word of God, it will help you to learn sound judgment. He said, look, you know, when you keep his word, study bring you into sound judgment, because this word is based on soundness, sound doctrine that cannot be condemned. You know, it's right here in this word. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're coming to the end of this lesson. Let me quickly, you know, try to wrap it up. It's also another long lesson, but here are a few more things. The choices that we make in life, I mean, as many things are placed before us every day for a choice. Let's read Deuteronomy chapter 30. Same, you know, Deuteronomy chapter 30. Let's read verses 15 to 20. Some things were also said in Deuteronomy 28 about making a choice for good or evil. You know, but I like this one better, the way he puts it. He just encapsulates the whole thing in Deuteronomy 30. And let's pick it up from verse 15. He said, look, I have set before you today life and good. You have to make a choice. You know, death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments. Judgment. That thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God will bless thee in the land without thou goest to possess it. But if thou turn your heart away, so that thou will not hear, but you be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, or do that which is contrary to the word of God, I should say, well, I denounce unto you this day. In other words, he is giving a disclaimer that you shall surely perish, and all these words of promise will not be yours. You shall not prolong your days upon the earth, whither thou goest to possess it, and so on and so forth. I call heaven and earth to record against you the day. I set before you life and death, blessing, cursing, and so forth. Therefore, choose life. And he's encouraging it. Choose the good side, that you may live and your seed may live. That thou mayest know to love the Lord thy God, to obey his voice, to cleave unto him, for he is your life, and his length of days you will have, and so on and so forth. You know, so life is full of choices. Gather all the information, grounded in facts, make the right choices. Now, here are some benefits of wisdom quickly. It will give life to your soul, grace to your neck. I mean, this is sound judgment, rather. Proverbs 3, 21 to 22. It will give you safety in the way. Your foot will not stumble. Proverbs 3:22. We read that already. It will keep you from fear and destruction of the wicked. Your sleep will even be sweet. Proverbs 3, you know, we're told, verses 24 to 26. It will bring you to honor and promotion. Proverbs 4, verses 7 to 9. It will preserve your life from evil. Proverbs 2, verses 11 and 12. It will fill your house with all good things. You know, it's called wisdom, but it's also sound judgment. Proverbs 24, verses 3 to 4. And this one encompasses all the pillars. You can find that in Proverbs 8, verses 12 to 14. Sound judgment comes from the Lord. Studying and meditating the word of God will help you to learn sound judgment. You know, let me read just a couple of things to us in Proverbs, and then I'm going to wrap it up with prayer. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1. If thou will receive my words, that means study your words. You got to study the word of God. This is where sound judgment comes from. This word of God is right here. It's got an answer to everything. I said the other day that, look, if you have a question, there's no answer in the word of God. It's not a question that you need an answer to. It's just that simple. You know, so God has an answer for everything in this word. He has given us Bible, B-I-B-L-E. What does that stand for? It's an acronym that some people say it's basic instruction book. I mean, before leaving earth, is what they say. B-I-B-L-E. Well, I say no. I say it's a basic instruction book for living every day. And it's not about before you leave earth. Leave earth to where? Jesus said, don't take them away from the world, but keep them from the evil one. You know, so right here, right now, while you're here, the Bible is the basic instruction book for your living every day. That's it. It's all in the Bible. Praise the Lord. Now, that's a long lesson on the sound, on sound judgment, which is a pillar of wisdom. And I am going to, let me read one more verse. There's one verse I left out in Proverbs chapter 2. And I think I read it already. Verse 9. Let's see. Yeah. You understand sound judgment and so forth, you know, when you take on and study the word of God. It's all in there. You find examples for life. So here's the prayer that we're going to pray today. Remember, the pattern for this room is, you know, give the lesson, give some definitions, you know, give some examples, give some lessons, speak from the Holy Spirit, whatever he gives. Then we look at some benefits. Then we look at some prayer around that pillar. So today, the prayer around this pillar of sound judgment is that, look, Lord, give me this pillar of wisdom, which is sound judgment in my life. You know, we've always prayed that way, you know, which is indeed all the seven pillars, right? To help me to seal up all the cracks that may be in my life. You know, that's just a full prayer that covers everything. And I'm going to pray that prayer over the room before I close it out and open it up for discussions. Father, I thank you, Lord, for these lessons on wisdom. Today, the sound judgment. Thank you for what you've shown us on how to say no, how to use sound judgment, how to gather all the information and be grounded in facts. And Lord, I pray, the Holy Spirit is the one that can actually guide us in this. Help us to make the right choices. Teaching us to make the right choices. The anointing which you have received, the scripture says, 1 John 2:27, is no lie. But that same anointing will teach you all things, show you how to make sound decisions. Father, we pray that you give us this wisdom pillar of sound judgment in our lives. To learn and to know when to say no, and to learn and to know when to say yes, and to be able to analyze all the facts, make a sound decision, and stand by that decision. I pray, Lord, that you give us the grace to do the same. Thank you, Father, for these lessons on wisdom and wisdom, how it's been speaking to us. And may we take this and learn from you. Jesus said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. And thank you, Lord, for speaking to us, giving us wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get it. And with all that getting, get understanding. And if you know all of that, it will turn out to be sound judgment. You'll be a person that is, uses sound reasoning and does not make rash decisions. And the Lord will help you. These things will promote you when you love and keep them and walk by these principles that we have learned throughout this lesson. God bless everyone. We thank the Lord. We give the Lord all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.